The following audio is from Central Christian Church, located in Portales, New Mexico. To connect with Central, go to centralwired.org.
is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We greet you, Jesus. You are the one who turns graves into gardens. Amen. much more.
Brought me in for his love. the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost.
Hey, so 2020 just finished up, and at the beginning of all the COVID kind of stuff, as it was ramping up, we started a Bible study, me and like three other guys, and it was the book of Acts. It was a 30-week study, so it took quite a while, and it was pretty in-depth. But it was awesome to see how the early church responded to difficulties, to struggle, to figuring out how they were going to spread the name of Jesus and make make him famous. And so when I was thinking about the end of 2020 and the beginning of 2021, I started thinking about resolutions, right? I mean, everybody has one. So we resolve to do something. We say that this is our line in the sand. This is something that's going to happen. So for some of us, it's we're going to not drink soft drinks anymore. We'll see how that one works out for me. I'll keep you posted. For some of us, it's we're going to exercise a little bit more, like maybe 3, 4, 17 times a week. It just depends, right? And so we're going to try to be nicer. We're going to try to stay off our phones. But the majority of our resolutions have to do with us. And so really the idea is what it looks like when we make a resolution that involves others. And so Acts chapter 20 is where I'm going to be at. And this is Paul's farewell to the Ephesian elders. And so I'm going to start at verse 22. "And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me." Verse 24 says, "However, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. Now I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again." And Paul continues his farewell to the Ephesians. And he says in verse 32, "Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." And at the end of his farewell address, this is what happens. "When he had said this, he knelt down with all of them," this is the elders, "and prayed. They all wept as they embraced him and kissed him. What grieved them most was his statement that they would never see his face again. Then they accompanied him to the ship." Now, there's a lot of times in the book of Acts where you'll see the pronoun "we," and it's kind of innocuous. I mean, you kind of just read right past it. But there's three things that I want to share with you today that I got out of this passage as I was reading. The first one is this. When it says "we," that other person is Luke. Luke went around with them to write the story. He wrote the book of Luke. He continued with the book of Acts. And so what we see here is a friend who knows that his friend is going to something inevitable. And instead of trying to pull him away from it, he journeys with him together. So the first thing is, we're in this together. We journey together. We walk together. We do the difficult work of walking side by side with somebody through thick and thin, no matter where the journey leads us. Now, the second thing is, there are a lot of things Paul could have said to the Ephesian elders. He obviously had a very warm spot in his heart to them. But instead of saying, I wish I could stay, please don't make me go, I love you guys so much, please tell me about all the wonderful things that I did for you as a church. Instead of saying all of those things, Paul says this: "I want your resolve to be the foundation of God. I want Jesus' name to be famous. And I am on this journey right now, and there are some things that I need to say to you because I don't have much time." And Paul knows the inevitability of what's to come. And it's the same inevitability for each and every one of us. We're not promised tomorrow. We assume we are. And so what do we choose to say in the breath that we have left? What do we choose to do in the time that we have left? What are your words to somebody as you encourage as you love. And maybe the last thing, and this is what Paul is saying, in even the difficulties of what he's about to endure, he tells the elders, look, there's going to be people that come up around you that are going to distort truth. They're going to say some things that don't jive with what we know to be true. They're going to say some things about me. They're going to say some things about Jesus that simply aren't right. And so when you see those people, you're going to have to call them out just a little bit. You're going to have to be louder than them. You're going to have to stand on the foundation. You're going to have to be rooted in faith. You can make all the resolutions in the world, but if you yourself are not rooted in Christ, it's never going to measure up. So where does your strength come from today? Where does your peace come from today? We're all on this journey. So what do you choose to say and do as you walk this earth? Because we're not promised tomorrow. And finally, we do it together. We walk together through thick and thin because that's what he's called us to do. As we take communion, I'm not going to lie, it's awkward. I can't even get the bread out of the little wrapper, right? And I'm like trying to thumb through and the song's hitting and I'm like, thank you, Jesus. And I'm like, I'm going to throw the cup. I can't do it. That's not the point, right? The point is where your heart is. I know it's different. I know it's weird. But we're doing it together. We're doing it together, right? And that's the whole point. We don't exist on islands. He calls us to journey together, rooted in Christ. Will you pray with me? Father God, Lord, we're so thankful for your word, Lord, for your truth. Lord, Paul says, I pour out my worship. I pour out all I have to give. This is the one thing that I cherish the most, that I've left it out on the table, that I have finished the race with fumes, Father, because I have just given it all. May we be like Paul and give it all for the one who has given so much to us. New life, victory, hope, future. May the breath in our lungs be the breath we use to praise you, Lord, to worship your holy name as we pour out our praise on you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We used that open in 2018, 3 years ago when we started the year, and we had this big push for who's your one? Who is somebody that God is calling you to reach out to? And I wanted to bring it back, and we're going to show a little bit more of it because we need to refresh our focus. I don't think anybody would argue that 2020 has been a dumpster fire. I mean, we've all seen this. We've all seen the Christmas ornaments that were dumpster fires and how we could get rid of 2020. I mean, we lost Sean Connery and Alex Trebek in 8 days. That was a horrible week right there. We didn't get camp. We didn't get the Olympics. We didn't get school. We don't have any toilet paper. Everything was bad. It was a horrible year. But I hate to break this to you. Just because the calendar changed doesn't mean all the bad stuff just magically went away. We're going to have to deal with it. Because we need a proper focus. Have you changed your focus? Because where you put your focus changes everything. And friends, if we don't put our focus in the proper place, we are destined to repeat the frustration and division of 2020. Okay, I'm just saying it like it is. We are destined to repeat it if we don't change our focus. Jesus came to do one thing, seek and save lost people. He was very bold about that. He was very clear about that. He told us to go do one thing, go make disciples. Well, it's easy to say, well, Don, we couldn't make that many disciples this year because everything was shut down and we can't do what we want to do. Yes, that's true. But friends, that's not an excuse for us not talking to people about Jesus. We are not closed. We're not going to close. The church is the body of Christ. And we need to continue to talk to people about Jesus. I'm afraid maybe we've lost our focus on what really matters. We need to make disciples. You're going to see this logo. You saw it on the sign out there. 2021. Who is your one? And everyone matters. Even that one. Everyone matters, and we need to point them to Jesus, even that one. We're going to be in Luke chapter 5 if you join me. If you're listening on the radio, you're online, we're glad you're with us at Central Christian Church. We want to be a Bible-believing church and a Bible-using church, so we invite you to have your Bible open to Luke chapter 5. I want us for the next couple of 3 weeks to look at how Jesus interacted with people and how he grew such a following. Yes, Jesus was an incredible guy, but how did he deal with people? And I think you're going to see some in this particular passage dealing with one of the people that Jesus calls out. Luke chapter 5 and verse 27. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Later, as Jesus left town, he saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at his tax collector's booth. "Follow me and be my disciple," Jesus said to him. So Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Later, Levi held a banquet in his home with Jesus as the guest of honor. Many of Levi's fellow tax collectors and other guests also ate with them. But the Pharisees and the teachers of religious law complained bitterly to Jesus' disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with such scum?" Jesus answered them, "Healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I've come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners and they need to repent." I think we miss the impact of this particular story because we don't have a cultural parallel to this. The tax collector in their time was a hated individual. We've talked about this before. But you need to understand, in biblical times, they were in their own country, but they were ruled by somebody they didn't vote for, somebody they didn't want. The Romans came in. And they ruled them not by love, but by fear. They stuck Roman soldiers on every corner with swords and said, "If anybody gets out of line, you chop them down." All right. And it was meant to intimidate you. "We don't really care." Rome would say, "We don't really care about your little religious rituals. You do whatever you want to, but just don't mess with Rome." OK, well, how do you pay for something like that? You got all these Roman soldiers. How do you pay that? You tax those people. You're taxing people to pay for people they don't want to be there doing things they don't want them to do. All right. So you're sending all of this money. Well, how do you gather that tax money? Rome's not going to do it. So what they do is they would go hire a local. The locals know who is here, and they would tell them, "Look, we need X amount of dollars. Let's say I need $10 per person for everybody in this quadrant for every week. You get me? That's what Rome needs. Now, what you charge them, you can charge them whatever you want to. I don't care. Anything above the $10, you can keep, but that part goes to Rome, and don't you dare be a penny shy, all right?" So I'm trying to figure out how to parallel that, and I can't really find one. Look at it this way. You own a business, and somebody is embezzling from you, and you see them, and there's not anything you can do about it. They're stealing money from you, and then worse than that, they are taking that money, and they're sending it to support ISIS. How would you feel? Not too loving, all right, to that kind of a guy in your business. That's you see, a tax collector in this culture was not just a cheater, but a traitor. Somebody that turned their back on their own people. And being friends with a tax guy is not a good PR move for Jesus. Not at all. And suddenly there's this new rabbi in town, this Jesus. He comes into town and they see him walking over to this tax collector's booth. And all of the people go, "All right, now we're going to get it. All right, he's about to let this guy have it. How dare you do this to your own people?" Except that's not what Jesus said. Instead of "how dare you," he said, "How are you?" And then he said, "Why don't you?" And then he said, party's at your house. That's how the afternoon went. And mouths fell open because this was unheard of. In that culture, the way to make sure you knew you were friends, the way to show friendship was to eat together. You go have a meal together. And suddenly Jesus is going to this guy's house? Have you lost your mind, Jesus? It shows us the character of our Savior. Jesus made followers because Jesus made friends. Now, this may seem minimalist to you. This may seem a little cliched. But friends, it is important. And you need to know this. Whatever we do here at church, look, let's be honest. Whatever we do, we're going to get criticized for. Why don't we do what Jesus did? If we're going to get criticized anyway, why don't we do what he did? You see, our core values here at Central Christian, we've looked at them. You see them all over the place. L1 and L2, they matter to us. Our core values, law one is love the Lord your God with all your heart. Law two is love your neighbor as yourself. But this has been an interesting year. Look at it this way. The challenges of being in church right now. If we obey the state's health orders, well, we're not standing up and we're bowing to Caesar. But if we ignore the state's guidelines, well, you don't care if people die. You see, I mean, there's no winning. If you stand up against culture, you're a hateful bigot. If you say anything about Black Lives Matter, you're a leftist liberal. If you don't stand up against culture, you're spineless. You don't do anything. If you mask, you live in fear. If you don't mask, well, you only love yourself. There's no winning on this deal. And on top of all of that, we've seen church people, godly people, talking and posting in such hateful and negative ways. I wonder what the outside world is looking at the church and saying, why do I want to be a part of any of that? If you're so hateful to everybody else, why don't we love like Jesus did? Why don't we reach out like he did? Jesus made followers because he made friends. And when he made friends, it made waves. Later on in Luke chapter 7, just a couple of chapters later, they're going to call him a glutton. The Pharisees are going to say Jesus is a glutton. No. He's a drunkard? No. And they call him a friend of sinners. Yes, he absolutely was that. They said that as a way to cut him down, and he smiled and said, yay, that's what I want to be. A friend of sinners. You see, it gives you a glimpse into the Pharisee mindset. The Pharisee mindset is, well, love God, but do it my way and hate anything that's bad. And there is nothing worse than people like Levi. God hates people like Levi, and good people should too. You see, the Pharisee looks at it, my way is the right way. And they don't look anything outside of their little tunnel vision. But this passage gives us a critical insight into the thinking of Jesus, to the mission of Jesus. God is not like what you've been told. God does not hate the people that you think he hates. He wants to befriend anyone. He wants to make a difference in everyone. Everyone matters, even that one that is an enemy of God. And friends, if you've been told different, you've been told wrong. We need to realize that every person matters. Everyone, no matter what their background is, matters. A young man once told me, hey, Don, you know there's not going to be any women in heaven. And I went, whoa, what? If you're listening on the radio, I have a very, very gasped face right now. He said, Revelation 8:1 says, he opened the seventh seal and there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. I don't know how to respond to that. I don't think that proves what he thinks it thinks. And it'd probably get me stabbed. Okay, but it brings up an interesting point. If you at any time read the Bible so you can take a certain people out of God's story, you've read it wrong. We're not trying to write people out. We're trying to include. We're not trying to exclude people. We're trying to include everyone. Who can be invited? Everyone. Who needs to be invited? Who should be invited? Everyone. Even that one. Because everyone has a story. This is a rabbit hole I went down this week. I started thinking about Levi here. He's got to have a story. Because in my understanding, no good Jewish boy would ever aspire to be a tax collector. It's not something, man, Dad, one of these days I'm going to be yelled at and spit at and cussed at every day. I can't wait. Nobody grew into that. How then did he get here? Here were just some of the thoughts. Here were just some of the places I ran. Did his dad die when he was young? He had to get a job to support brothers and sisters. Was he handicapped? We really don't know. We don't know anything about him. Maybe his arm didn't work. Maybe physically there was something wrong with him. He couldn't work in the farm. He couldn't build things, but he could sit at a booth and get money. What if he had a sick kid? A sick child that I got to have some money to get him to treatment. Now put that framework in Levi's mind for a second. And how we look at somebody. Can you feel differently about a guy that's trying to make money to get treatment for his kid? Can you feel differently about somebody that's working hard to do something for their family? Everybody has a story. Jesus looked at him and he saw someone that didn't want to stay there. He said, "Why don't you follow me?" Do we see people as patients or as problems? Do we see them as a problem or they have a problem? Why, when we see people different than us, why do we almost immediately focus on how different they are instead of how alike we all are? Did you hear that? Because that's hard. I'm looking and I say, well, if they wouldn't do that, yes, yeah, you're right. But do we really see people? Do we see people? Maybe they have a disability. Do we only see the disability? What about the capability that they have? Do we see people? I mean, really look at them and notice them. Do we see divorced people? And question who's at fault. When that's not our job. Our job is to love people. No matter where they are. No matter what situation they are in. Our job is to love people. We have some people going through rough times in our family, in our church, in our community. We need to be the body that says we're loving on you no matter what. Does that make sense? Nod. Show me you're still awake. We need to be the people that love. Do we see people from the other political party and call them stupid or ignorant? Or do we listen? Everyone has a story. Are we too busy cramming our story into them and we don't get to hear their story? Do you realize that Levi would not have run after Jesus if Jesus didn't first come after him? Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. I love this next line. Chases me down, fights till I'm found. Leaves the 99. We like the 99 part. We run into that line. But did we get those phrases underneath there? Chases me down. My God is chasing your heart. My God is chasing after you, and we need to be chasing after people. We need to get near lost people and go after them. I think one of the biggest errors that religion makes is we equate separation from sin with isolation from sinners. And I think we've missed a point there. Jesus didn't do that. He asked. He invites. He includes. Should we do different? I mean, realistically, can you imagine talking to a doctor and saying, are you working at that hospital? A hospital? Yuck. Ooh, I wouldn't want to go there. It's full of sick people. That's your job, all right? And then you're supposed to... Does that make sense? We need to be going after sick people. That is our call. Scripture says you are salt, you are light. It doesn't say maybe you're salt. You ought to be a little light. It says you are the light of the world. I'm sending you where you are needed. Now, let's be realistic. I get this. There's a tension here. And we need to be cautiously optimistic. We need cautious wisdom here. If you struggle with alcohol, you don't need to be witnessing in a bar. I appreciate the attitude, all right? But that's not where you need to be. I hear all the people, all the time, people say, well, if Jesus was here right now, that's where he'd be. I wholeheartedly agree. But I don't think he'd be doing tequila shooters in there with him either. All right? I think there would be an impact. If you struggle with lust, you should not be on a computer all alone, quietly in a dark room. No. There's too many challenges. I was visiting with a couple of parents. Parents, we struggle with this all the time. The what friends do we want our kids to be around? Anybody got that struggle? Oy. No, I mean, it's hard. We want them to be light, but we don't want them drugged down, you know, and the constant battle there. Folks, there's not an easy button here. I'd love to say, do this every time, and it'll... I don't know. We're all working together, but we've got to be intentional about talking to people about Jesus, because his goal was to seek and save lost people. Should be ours, too. You can amen that. Look at the story. Look back at the story for a second. Levi gives a dinner at his house in verse 29. Levi gives a dinner at his house. Who does he invite? Well, the only people he gets to hang out with. He is a tax collector, so the Romans don't want to hang out with him. The Jews don't want to hang out with him. Nobody wants to hang out with him. It's only outcasts. So he invites more outcasts. Can I just tell you, I could save Jesus a lot of hassle if he would have let me be his PR guy. I would have said, Jesus, this would have saved you a lot of hassle, probably kept you off of that tree for a while, all right? Here's the deal. You look Levi right in the eye and say, Levi, let's get together. I'll meet you at Chili's. Because it would have been neutral. It would have been not, you know, we'll go around other people. Friends, this is important. Community usually precedes conversion. We connect with people. Again, we're going to get criticized no matter what we do. Why don't we get criticized for doing what Jesus did? Let's make community. Let's implore people to be a part. Let's love on people. Building relationships, starting connect groups. Well, Don, what if they drink? Well, what if they live an alternative lifestyle? What if they don't have everything figured out? Exactly. That's exactly what we need to be doing. Dietrich Bonhoeffer once said that if people that want community will often break community. People that love people will build communities. We need to be people that love people. And did you notice how much Jesus yelled at Levi? Did you notice how much he said, you better get your act together, boy. Get your stuff straightened out. I'm going to be back by here in about a month. And if you get all your garbage fixed, maybe we can go have coffee or something. He didn't say that. He said, let's go. He didn't lead with stop. He led with start following. Not a laundry list of you better get all of this stuff fixed. He led with love. And it's going to be our love, folks. Not our opinions, that will impact people. Do you realize he called the absolute worst version of Levi? He called him at his worst, when he was cheating on his own people, when he was bailing on his own blood. He called him then. Guess what? He called the absolute worst version of you too. He didn't really want you cleaned up and then you come to Jesus. You come to Jesus and let him clean you up. Anybody ever bought a car as is? Anybody ever gone to the Goodwill store and seen as is? You know what you see that? You know what that means? That means you're getting something flawed, right? Something may not work. There might be a little crack on the backside of that. That shirt might have a little extra stain underneath the arm. It's flawed. Oh, the depths of your mercy. This is that last song the praise team was singing during communion. That saved a wretch like me. And the waves of forgiveness. I love the imagery there. It's not a one-time deal. It continues to wash over you. Your blood that carries me, pour it out. Friends, all of us are flawed. My God does as is. And the gospel is not full of stories of people changing and then following Jesus. They're full of stories of people following Jesus and lives being changed. I love this story. Steve Croft from 60 Minutes told this story. I shared it about 7 or 8 years ago of a sobriety program they were doing in prisons in Canada. And they were using the Bible as a path to sobriety. And so they got this one guy on camera, and he was sitting there and they were talking. And he said, "Where did your sobriety begin?" He said, "When I got my Gideon Bible." And everybody goes, "Oh, that's a good thing." And he goes, "Yeah, because you read it." And he goes, "No. No, because the paper in the Gideon Bible is the right texture and it's the right feel that we can take it and we can roll cigarettes with it." He said, "You take the nicotine gum that they'd get and they'd get some stuff at lunch and they would mix it together with their spit. And the texture of the Gideon Bible was perfect for rolling cigarettes." He said, "I smoked Matthew. I smoked Mark. I smoked Luke, but somewhere in the book of John, I looked down and I saw a God that loved me and wanted to be with me. And that's where my sobriety started." It's a process of loving on people that are flawed. It's hard. And in the next couple of weeks, we're going to talk more about 2021. We're going to ask you to pray over people. We're going to ask you to look for someone God may have already placed in your life. And we're asking you to commit to reaching out. Friends, I want Central to be known as a place where L1 and L2 matter. That people matter here. And if we really want to make an impact in our community and our culture, we will go crazy loving on people. More food, more deliveries, more partnering with outreach things like the ministry that's going into the dairies that are dealing with Hispanic, non-English speaking people. More supporting CYFD and partnering with people talking about adoption and foster care. We've been able to partner with CYFD and deliver food to a bunch of families through the holidays. More supporting organizations, things in our community that impact lives. 2020 has had its problems. It's time we get our focus back on talking about Jesus. Not politics, not whether we're right or we're right or we're in charge or everybody's correct. Getting our focus on making disciples. Everyone matters in 2021, even that one. Levi went on to do some other things. And you know him by another name, Matthew. He wrote a book about following Jesus. He wrote his version of the story of Jesus. And millions have come to Jesus because of him telling what Jesus did in his life. Was he perfect when he followed Jesus? Good grief, no. He wasn't popular. He wasn't powerful. He was probably one of the most hated of the disciples. Let's be honest. They didn't know later on. We all go, oh, Judas got to be the worst one. We don't know. We weren't there. At that time, they didn't know Judas was going to bail on him. Probably Matthew was the least popular of the bunch. They didn't like him being around there. But he kept loving Jesus. He kept following in his steps. Look, folks, we can't fix anyone. We sure can't fix Santa Fe or Washington or anything that's going on in our world, but we can invite people and we can make disciples and we can make an impact by loving on people where they are, because everyone matters in 2021, even that one.
Thank you for listening to audio from Central Christian Church in Portales, New Mexico. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for those copies or alter the content in any way without permission. To connect with us, visit our website at centralwired.org.